CBC Halifax's first female news anchor is a woman from Cape Breton, and Sharon Dunn began her career at CJCB in Sydney before working for some of the biggest newsrooms in North America. The Coast 89.7's Brooklyn Campbell sits down with Dunn, and they talk about her life as a journalist.
I read on your website that your first reporting job, you got hired on the spot at 16, and I just thought that was such an interesting tidbit. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that.
I had forgotten about that. I hadn't looked back at that for years. I was here, where the Coast is located, was Holy Angels High School at the time. I didn't want to go there. I wanted to go to the academy where the boys were, but my parents wouldn't let me. And I came here, and I have to give the nuns so much credit, because if you're in the arts, I mean, they're the best promoters in the world. And I had a voice at that time, which I think I lost, so they were promoting me to debate and this and that. And I ended up, I think, what you're referring to, I was in grade 11, I was vice president of the student council, and CBC would let students come up like once a month and talk about what's going on in the school. Now, I was involved in hiring a band called Killer Egg from New Brunswick. They were the hottest band in the East Coast. I wanted our dances to be cool. So I was I was so excited that I would be announcing this to the public. So the announcer told me to go, and I started all the boring stuff that was going on at the school. And I was just about to say, and he said, oh, thank you so much, Sharon Dunn from Holy Angels. Thanks for coming. And went to sign me off. I said, I'm not finished yet. And he said, okay. And I went into the whole thing. So, oh gosh, can I remember the name of the manager then? I'll think of it at some point. When I walked out, the manager was standing there. He said, you're hired based on what you did in there. And he said, give me everything you can. Clips on beauty tips and that kind of thing. But I wasn't interested in that. I wanted to do more newsy types things. So because he tried to put me towards the lipsticks you should wear and things like that, and I didn't have an interest, I didn't go in as often, but I got my first job, and that made me feel good.
That's so impressive to like have had that tenacity from such a young age.
Oh, there was no way I was going to walk away and everyone would know the Killer Egg was coming. There was no way.
Were they that good?
They were wild. The lead singer, he was African-American. He had the afro. All he wore when he was on stage, I had heard, was a garter belt, stockings with heels, and ladies' underwear. Now, this is back in the 70s, right? Early 70s. So I didn't tell anyone on the student council. I didn't tell the principal. I didn't tell anybody. But I wanted him in because I thought, we'll be cool. I mean, we packed the place. We always packed the place anyway for our dances. And even a friend of mine came to me that night when they were performing. She said, I cannot believe you did this and didn't tell us. And the nuns, the teachers, used to be on the second floor looking over the events. And all I could see, they were in their full habit. I could see the pointed hats. And I said, please go to bed before this band starts. And they didn't. So I thought, I'll get suspended or expelled for this. So I said to my father Monday morning, because that had happened on a Saturday night, I said, you know, take me to school a little bit later. I didn't want to run into the principal. So I tried to sneak in, and then I hear, Miss Dunn, it was the principal, Sister McGinnis. And I stopped. She said, you're late. I said, yes. She said, well, get to class. I was, oh. So I started running to class, and I heard Miss Dunn. I stopped again, and I heard, great dance.
So you stumbled upon your broadcasting career in a sense. It came sort of as kismet, getting hired on the spot in that one instance.
No, but I wanted it since I was 6-7 years old.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. If this was always a long-term goal.
Always
for you.
And I don't know where it came from, because women weren't reading the news. So I would tell people really young, I'm going to read the news on TV, and they said, girls can't read the news on TV. And I'd be like, well, I can already read, so I didn't get it, right? So when I started, when I went up to CJCB to try to get a job with Bill Holmes, who used to be on Reach for the Top, was the manager at the time. I just got dressed, showed up one morning. I had graduated university and said, I have an appointment with the program manager at 11 a.m. So the receptionist said, you sure it's at 11? I said, oh, yeah, I looked at the clock, 2 minutes to 11. That was a guess, right? So she's talking back and forth to someone, and then she said, excuse me, can you sit down again? And she goes back, and then I see Bill Holmes peek his head out. I didn't know he was the manager. I thought he's obviously the manager. And then she came back and said, you can go in now. So I went in, and I said, Mr. Holmes, I don't really have an appointment today. Obviously, I know, but why are you here? I said, I just want to do an audition. I don't know if I'm any good. I'm a Sydney girl. I've always watched the station. He said, we just hired our first woman. We don't have a job. I said, did I ask for a job? I just asked for an audition. And I wouldn't get up. There's another thing I can pass along. Somebody wrote a wonderful book called Don't Take No for an Answer. I never took no for an answer. So I wouldn't get up. If you won't get up out of a seat, sometimes you put an employer in a position. They have to come up with another answer. So if they've said no, and you're still sitting there, they have to come up with another answer to get you to leave. So finally he said, okay, I'll think about it. Call me in the morning. And within a couple of days, he said, okay, come on in, read some news, weather, and sports. So I went in. I went up to Kmart and got an outfit. And I went in. Fortunately, polyester looks great on TV, better than silk and satin, by the way. And I went in and did it. And I came out to him and I said, how was I? And he said, you were terrific. I'm going to give you the next job. I said, do I start tomorrow? He said, no, in a year. I said, well, I won't be alive then. Because you're pretending I'm good. If you thought I was good, you wouldn't let me leave this office. And he said, oh, please don't start that, right? And I did. So he said, okay, I'll call you Monday. See, I wouldn't leave until he said he'd call me. And then I called him Monday. He said, I'll call you Tuesday. And then Tuesday, he called and said, come on in tomorrow. He said, we're hiring you at $100 a week, right, to be my secretary. You can type, can you? I said, yes, but I couldn't. And I said, no, I don't accept. He said, okay, now what? I said, I told you I would work for free. I'm not taking $100. He said, fine, we'll give you $125. I said, oh, okay. But I had meant it. I would have worked for free. So he got my foot in the door. I always say about me, I wasn't the best at what I did. You know, I was just the pushiest. I would do anything. Like, I tried so hard to be good at that job. So I would come in at 9, and I'd just stand at, like, a sentry in his office. Finally, after about a week, he said, Sharon, you're driving me crazy. Whether I have a guest or something, you're just standing there like a statue. And I said, well, I'm trying to do a good job. He said, well, there's nothing to do. I just hired you anyway. So I said, well, I don't like coming in early at 9. Can I come in at like noon then? He said, yeah, sure. And I said, why don't I just sit out in the lobby? So I would meet guests coming in, and I ended up being the greeter until the first show he threw me on was Connie Morrison was the name of the host. It was a cooking show. Cooking. Never cooked a thing in my life, right? And the producer came out, I think it was on at 11. It was 2 minutes to 11 and said, Sharon, come on. And I started for the studio. And I said, what's going on? And he said, you're hosting the show. I went in the washroom, got sick. I said, I have to go to the washroom. I was terrified. My mother was watching at home. It said, Cookie Hour with Sharon Dunn. She's don't know. I was terrible on it. I said crazy things like, oh, what are we cooking today? I said to the person who actually was the cook, not the host. It was an older lady. I said, you better talk. She never talked on this show. I said, you better talk because I have nothing to say. And she talked that day. And I said, we're doing shepherd's pie, which is probably pretty cheap because I always had it at the dorm in at Dell. So crazy, silly things. So I came out with my tail between my legs and I went in to see Bill Holmes. And he looked at me. He said, all I can tell you is you're not fired. I said, good, because it was bad. And then they gave me the weather spot. So I was the first weather girl up there. And that was fine. I liked doing the weather. But they never put me on the news in Sydney at CJCB.
What was the steps from doing the weather spot to becoming the first female anchor in Halifax?
Well, I'll tell you, I got a call. I was at CJCB about 8 months. I was also doing the afternoon show at that time. Coffee break, I think it was time. It's not my style. It's that thing where you just interview people about flower arranging and things, and I'm bad at it. So I was a number of months in. I get a call from a man named Michael Rothery, and he said, I'm from CBC Halifax, and I'm with the Sydney group today. They want to hire you as producer of Information Morning. I wasn't interested in that. I wouldn't know how to do that. So I said, I'd like to talk. You're from Halifax. I'd like to talk with you, right? So we met the next day, and I said, I'm not interested in that job. He said, why are you here? I said, I want to host the news in I want to anchor the news, 6 o'clock. He said, well, no girl's done that yet. And I said, who's the director? And he said, Sheila Urquhart. And I said, will you ask her if I can come up for an audition? Tell her I really want to come up and work with her. So he said, you're not going to hear from her. The next day I heard from her. And they you know, paid my flight and I went up for an audition. And I got hired based on that. But I didn't get hired as the news anchor. I got hired as a story editor. So my first story was on striking postal workers. I did a sympathetic look at them, and they were in like some kind of a gym, swilling beer and complaining about the government. the calls that came into the switchboard was, get those idiots off the air, take that nut Sharon Dunn off with them. So I'm crying. And Keith Morrow was the name of the director of the Atlantic region. And he apparently said, she's going to get herself in so much trouble. Let's just put her on the news. So I got on the news because I wasn't safe anywhere else.
I'd like to ask you a little bit more about your career as a writer.
Yes.
You've mentioned that it is, you found it a little more aligned with you.
Mm-hmm.
What has been your greatest accomplishment, like, within?
As a writer?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. So the first story I wrote, my husband died when my sons were 10 and 3. And I felt so sorry for them that I turned Father's Day into Brother's Day, because I just didn't even want them to have a bad day. So it became Brother's Day. It was like Christmas. They'd give each other gifts, and I would take them to Wonderland. So my youngest son, Luke, now he's about seven years old, so it's about 4 years after his dad died, just before Father's Day. He comes home upset because he was making in school the Brother's Day card, and the other kids started saying, you don't have a father. You have nothing to do on Father's Day. I was heartbroken for him, so I wrote a story called Luke's Dad, because he said, nobody knows about my father. So I wrote this story, and then I let him hear it, and he was like blushing and, oh, embarrassed. I said, can I put this in the newspaper? And he said, okay, yes. I said, because then everyone's going to know about your dad, right? And the whole idea was from now on, we were going to do Father's Day. So I wrote the story and I sent it. I called a friend of mine in Toronto. His name's Paul Godfrey. He used to run The Sun. And I told him I had this story. He told me later, he thought, oh God, not another friend who wants to write. He said, well, I'll give it to the editor, right? So he gives it to the editor. And the editor called me back and said, we want it. But I was in the news for different reasons at that time, including my husband's death and someone I was dating. And I said, but you can't attach stories to it because it's for my son to see. Well, we'll get back to you. So I thought, well, I wonder, what about the New York Times? So I look up, that's, you know, fax. There was no internet then. So I looked up the fax number and I faxed it off the New York Times. Within a minute, I get a phone call and I see it's the New York Exchange. Hello, is this Sharon Dunn? Yes. We want to syndicate that story worldwide. I'm like, what? That's the first story I ever wrote, right? And writers in Toronto said after that, they didn't say, why do you think they took the story, which I would have expected them to say. They said, why would you send it to the New York Times? See, I went to the top. And I said, why not? They need stories too. Once I did that, I kind of got recognized in Canada, because, you know, I think the Star ran it and a few other newspapers. I think the National Post ran it as well. And then I wrote one story. I was defending something about myself, but I wrote it very tongue in cheek and I sent it off to the National Post just because I thought the pictures they had taken of me about something, it was someone I was dating. I don't want to get into it. I thought they put good pictures and I'm going to give them the story. So they used that story. And then the editor took me out to lunch the next day. And he said, I don't know how you did that and didn't upset anyone. It was a conservative newspaper, right? I don't know how you did it. I need you on as a columnist. His name's Ken White. And he's fantastic. He was the editor in chief at The Post and the Maclean's magazine. So that story meant a lot to me. And the last line was, to the kids in Luke's class, I just want to let them know that Luke does have a father, and he's alive and well and living in a little boy's heart.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for this.
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.